This is a podcast about our lived experience, which unfortunately includes infant death and subsequent mental health struggles. Please take good care of yourself and only listen if this content feels safe for you right now. We'll still be here when you're ready.
Hi, I'm Judah.
And I'm Alina. We both lost babies to SIDS in winter 2021.
In the throes of grief, I reached out to a stranger on the internet and our friendship was born.
In the years since, we've been working hard to survive, rebuild, and navigate the continual challenges that have come our way, including divorce,
job loss,
dating while bereaved,
moving multiple times,
health scares,
pregnancy and parenting a living child,
starting new jobs, and so much more.
We are tired.
Happily Ever After is out of the question for us, but this podcast documents our journeys to happier ever after because we believe life after loss is worth living.
So join us as we laugh, cry until we laugh.
Welcome to As Long As I'm Living podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Hi.
Hi. This can be quick.
I actually have time. Hi. It's good to see you. You don't look well.
I'm not well.
Yeah, you haven't been well. What are you feeling this morning?
Fucked in the head.
Oh my God, I love your shirt. I'm so jealous. I just want it so badly.
I am wearing my What a Shame She's Fucked in the Head sweatshirt that Judith got for me.
It's such a good sweatshirt. I love it. I'm so jealous.
I am so fucked in the head.
I know. So well, what's been going on? I mean, I know, but for everyone else.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's a lot, right? We're coming back after the break, but I won't bury the lead. We're not coming back for real because not right now, because I don't have it in me, honestly.
Do you want to talk about what's been draining you so much or you want to just kind of keep it private?
I'm happy to talk about it. I am struggling with 10,000 things. And I think when we took our first break the first time, like last year, I remember you said like, I just feel like we're struggling with things that don't have anything to do with the boys dying. And I feel like that's what's going on right now. I just feel like the things that you and I are struggling with right now feel very divorced from the loss of the children, of the boys. I'm trying and failing to do an IVF transfer. We haven't actually had a failed transfer. We just haven't even gotten to the point of a transfer. We've been trying and it's been delayed and canceled multiple times. And I am currently on a medication that for that purpose that is making me feel like...
Well, the way you explained it to me, which I think is helpful for people who haven't been through IVF, is like they start off by trying to do the fewest amount of interventions as possible. So yeah. Your first round that you tried, it didn't work out, but there was the least amount of medical intervention.
Right.
And so there was less, it was a less of a process. Unfortunately, that cycle didn't work out. So now we're trying additional cycles and each time it gets ramped up a little more. So the mm-hmm. drugs you're on now they're not making you feel good. You feel really, really bad.
Yeah.
And so like it's all related to trying to make a cycle work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think I would describe myself right now as depressed.
Yeah, you seem depressed.
And that's not like a place I typically am, even though I have a dead kid. Like, I don't even think right after he died. Like, sure, yeah, I was depressed. But, like, I wouldn't say I was, like, in a clinically depressed state for a significant period of time. Like,
can you tell me about what it feels like, how you're feeling now?
I have, like... literally zero energy. And I feel like I'll look at a day where there's nothing to do. And I'm like, how do I fill these hours? Because I like don't want to do any of the things that I normally would want to do. So like lack little of enjoyment.
Interest. What do they call that? Like little interest in doing things or like little pleasure in doing things, something like that. That's like what it says somewhere.
And I know the things that can make people feel less depressed. Things like getting out for a walk, going outside, exercising, like doing, and I just don't have the energy to do those things. Like,
can I ask you a question? How does this feel different than a funk? Because we've been in funks before.
Yeah. this, so let me add, which is that I think a lot of what is going on is very directly correlated to the medications. So like, I'm trying to remind myself that basically I just need to like get through, I need to just cope with how this is making me feel. And I'm trying not to like extrapolate this to like, oh shit, like I have a new mental health problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I have, like, I've talked to my therapist about going up on my antidepressant because the way I feel is it doesn't feel temporary. Like, I feel like I stare at the rest of my life. Like, I've been thinking to myself, like, if I were to get pregnant, like, I don't know how I would get through the day. Like, I'm already so tired. Like, I think about how much energy it took to, like, parent Quinn when he was alive, and I just, like, don't right now. And again, I'm like trying not to extrapolate and be like, oh, this is forever, like I need to fix this. Like, there's nothing to fix. It's because I'm on a medication. I think it's just not good. I've been on IVF drugs since end of June, with the only significant gap I had where I really feel like I got to be in my own body was in December, but that was, we went on a week and a half long international vacation. It was the holidays. It wasn't like I felt like super chill and rested, enjoying my, you know, normal body. But all this to say, I don't feel equipped to add the podcast back into my plate right now. And as you guys know, we've talked about this, like I'm the one who does the editing, and I mean, you even setting that aside, like you and I are both like, we've got a lot going on. Like,
well,
we haven't even found time to record. We're recording this literally the day before because we scrambled and couldn't figure out how to record.
I'll say that I think we started this break because of me, for me, I would say, which is actually why we started the last break. Yeah. Now that I think about it.
The last break was like a panic induced. I recorded something and was like, hey guys, by the way, we're not releasing anything.
Like, yeah, that's the part where you're like, hi, I'm the problem. It's me, or what, you know, Taylor Swift vibes. We started this because of, I'm pretty sure it was because of me.
Yes, it was.
February was an incredibly busy month for me. And there's been a lot going on my side too. And I feel like I'm coming out of that though. Like, I'm going to be sitting in one place for a month now. So and my work schedule has freed up a little bit. So I feel like I'm starting to level a little bit, but I am very aware of the fact that you are not. Yeah. And like, I'm very aware of the fact that you're not well. And every time I call you, you're unwell. I can tell in a big way that you're not doing well at all. So I've been starting to think of like ideas of episodes I want to record but I just don't feel it's not the right time.
Yeah.
Even if I could make space, you can't. And yeah, we're a team. So we're not doing anything until you say that you're ready. If and when you're ready, we'll keep going. I suspect like when we get past this transfer, depending on how things shake out, maybe it'll look different on the other side, but like, I don't think we can think about anything until the transfer is done.
Yeah. And just to note, like, I don't know when said transfer will be. Like, we don't know when that's going to be because I've been trying and failing to even get to the point of a transfer. So
it's been a really, 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 really long time, and the entire process. So physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually draining.
Yeah.
And you still have to go to work.
Yeah, and I accidentally am very important at work, so that's irritating.
Right. You're accidentally very important at work.
I think maybe now is a good time, if you're comfortable, to share what's going on with you.
I don't think now is a good time.
I think we should say in this episode so that people know, so it's not a big surprise when we come back.
Oh. I feel like if we open that can of worms, there's like a lot. There's like a whole conversation that comes with it. You tell me. I mean,
I think we should just say, and this is something that's going on as well. Judith is pregnant, and I am very much not pregnant.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that right now.
But we've been recording longer conversations about that.
Yeah, we have actually, like, so this is the thing that's kind of interesting. Every time we take a break, well, the two times we've taken a break, we've continued to record, like, while we're taking the break. The thing that's different about this one is I have not continued to edit during the break. So, like, we have nothing. We have nothing. We have lots of recorded content, and including entire guest interviews.
Good ones, too.
Yeah, good ones. That are just sitting, you know, on the shelf that we'll get to. And we have been recording content about Judith's pregnancy, how she's feeling about it, how I'm feeling about it, that, again, we will release at some point. It's all really good stuff. It's just, it feels, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe there's, like, subconscious part that's very triggering. I mean, not subconscious. I think it's conscious. But I'm saying, like, maybe there's something subconscious about, like, even, like, spending time with me in this way.
Yeah. It's so interesting. And again, I don't want to talk about this a lot, but I will just share that I feel, and Judith knows this, this is what I'm sharing for the podcast people, like, this, her pregnancy, this pregnancy feels very different for me than her last pregnancy, where I was really fine, completely fine.
Yeah.
And this one stage
of your life.
Yeah. This one really doesn't feel fine. It doesn't feel like bad. Like, it doesn't feel like as bad as other pregnancies have felt to me, but this one, it just is, it's harder. It's definitely harder.
It's definitely harder.
I feel like every person in my class of lost parents has, like, just has definitely had their first kid. And then there are, like, so many that are having, like, another subsequent kid. And it's just like, oh, can I even get just one kid in the mix? Maybe. It seems unclear. There's also, like, other stuff going on in my life too. Like, there's been health things in my family, and, like, there's just, like, shit. Like, I feel like I cannot catch a break.
I think that's true.
I'm tired, and I have this stupid medication that's causing insomnia and anxiety and clearly depression. I'm, like, unwell.
I think all of that is very, very, very true. And I actually said to you the other day, I said, could you spend some time with a friend that, like, makes you feel nothing? And you were like, I don't have any friends like that.
My friends, and this is a compliment to them, we like, really get into the shit of life. Like, when we're talking, yeah, we're, like, getting into it. And I love that. And I know if I said to someone, like, I just want to, like, hang around and do nothing and, like, talk about stupid shit, like, they would be into it and we would be able to do it. But it's just, yeah, like, I mean, it's depression. I want to isolate myself. Like, that's how I feel. And it's also weird because there's always been this thing since Quinn died where if I'm feeling unwell, it's really hard for me to get out of the house because I'm more triggered by children and babies and pregnant people when I'm unwell. And outside in the world are the babies, children, and pregnant people. And so, like, it's hard to convince myself, like, oh, go for a run, because on the run is all the moms with their jogging strollers. And, like, you know, it's just, yeah.
I feel like I really want to see you, and I feel like, but I know that I can't right now. Like, I know it's not good for me to come, but I feel, like, sad because I know that, you know, if the situation were different, I just know that I could come and we could spend the day together and it could be really fun, and it would give you a day off. And I feel bad that I can't offer that. And I feel bad that, like, I know I make your life more difficult now.
I don't make your life more difficult.
I know, you know what? Your life is plenty difficult without me, but but I feel bad that I can't be a source of comfort in the way that maybe I once could.
Yeah.
So, or, I mean, I feel, maybe feeling bad, I just feel sad. I feel really sad that I can't be the source of comfort that I once would be able to be.
Yeah. I think that something else I'm dealing with too is that I feel, like, very lonely.
Yeah.
In what I'm going through, because I don't really have anybody.
That's true.
Who understands.
You don't. You don't.
So.
It is very lonely. And there have been times where, you know, like, the feeling has been reversed when I was dealing with things with my partner and you were, like, yeah, falling in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Telling me about these dreamy dates and romantic nights. I think I was like hiding under my cover. There have been times where it's been in the reverse, but I think it's not like it feels good. It just feels like you get what you get. And like sometimes you get things and you look at the other person, you're like, I want that. And then sometimes you don't get things, you know?
Yeah. I almost like feel afraid to say this, but it does kind of feel, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it kind of feels like things are falling into place on your end.
I'm afraid if you say that, it's going to fall apart.
You don't have to agree with me, but that is how it feels from here.
I feel like we are turning a corner. Mm-hmm. I feel like we are turning a corner, and I try my best to stay in the present because I'm very aware that everything could fall apart in 1 minute. So I just, basically what I tell myself, and I think we've spoken about this analogy, which is like, you know, in the beginning of grief, when you're like in the water and like you're drowning and then you're in the waves and then like they spit you out onto a rock, like the waves just spit you out onto a rock. And like when you're on that rock, like you have to like rest because you know that the waves are going to come back and get you.
Yeah.
So I feel like what I tell myself 10 times a day is you are on the rock. You are on the rock.
Like, enjoy your time on the rock.
Enjoy your time on the rock because
sunbathe.
Yeah, because you know that everything could fall apart so quickly. I know that I'm one conversation away from things falling apart. Okay. So I am trying, and I'm just trying to say, like, I'm on the rock. I'm on the rock. I'm on the rock.
Yeah.
I'm on the rock. But you're not on the rock. You're in the water. Oh my God.
I am not on the rock. I don't even see the rock.
I know.
Like, I'm in the middle of the vast wide ocean. And it's bad.
Do you think if you got pregnant on this next transfer, like, you would, everything would be solved for you? Or you feel like, no?
So, in my current mind state, which is affected by a drug I would no longer be taking if I were to get pregnant.
We'll be on other drugs.
I'll be on other drugs, but, you know, I'll be on other hormone cocktail, right, of pregnancy. Yeah. In my current mind state, I don't feel that way. I feel like I'm going to feel like this forever. Like, there's no chance that I'm ever going to feel better. And that's the depressive mindset talking. I'm aware of that. I do, if I'm like really trying to think like rationally, I think things will feel better if I get pregnant. Probably.
To me, that's the big, like, for me, my husband's employment was like the big gaping hole.
Yeah.
And I feel like for you, that's the big gaping hole. And I can only speak from my experience to say that there are still many, 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 many problems I'm struggling with. But I do feel a huge weight lifted off my shoulder now that that one hole is plugged. Yeah. So I suspect that you will still be in a dark place. And I suspect things will still be very, very, very hard. But maybe you won't feel that crushing pressure.
Yeah.
Maybe. I hope so. Or maybe you will. And then we'll just put you on more drugs. We'll just like ramp you up, sedate you.
It is. I don't think it would be an understatement to say that this is some of the worst I've ever felt.
You seem like it. You really.
And I don't remember quite how bad those really, really early days were. So but I'm not going to say it's as bad as that. No way. But I think this is a period of time where I am up there for the worst I've ever felt.
But I've noticed a shift. I'll just say this. I've noticed a shift since you've been on this drugs.
Oh, that's what I mean. Like, okay,
yes. So it's been 10 days, just about. And I've noticed a big shift. So like the past 10 days have been exceptionally bad. I don't think you were doing that hot before. But like, I definitely feel like I've seen a shift for the worst.
Yes. I am walking around with just experiencing acute anxiety and depression all day. All the
and
time.
You can't take Ativan.
I can't take Ativan. Yeah. So it's like, there's no relief. Like, I'll get relief for like 20 minutes if I meditate.
Do you drink?
I have been having a drink, and actually that is one thing that does actually help. But again, it's all temporary. So what I'm telling myself is like, these are like the five things that give me a small measure of relief. One is having a drink. One is if I can bring myself to exercise at all, I get relief for about an hour. So the exercise is miserable. I'm pushing myself through what feels like I'm like walking through, like trying to run through water, which is impossible. Mm. But I do get some relief from the bad feelings after. Okay. I I mean, the weather has not been good. So it's like raining. And I've literally been like sitting outside in the drizzling rain being like, at least I'll be outside.
Desperate times. Desperate times. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
It's so bad. So anyway, all this to say, guys, I'm not ready to come back. And this is not a goodbye forever. This is something
not even at all.
The thing that is going to be different, though, is every time we have not gone a single week in the entire history of this podcast without putting something out on Mondays. And I'm officially releasing myself from that streak, and that has which has felt like a burden. And there's going to be nothing.
You know, Alina, I am capable of learning how to edit.
You want to give it a shot?
No, but I will if you want me to.
Let's see if a couple more weeks I feel better.
You tell me if you want me to try, because I'm willing to learn how to try right now.
Learn how to try.
I don't want to do
set the bar low.
Try. I can try my best. So you tell me. You tell me what you think. Let's just take it day by day, week by week. I hope that we'll be able to say, like, in a few weeks we're back. But really, we're just going to listen to life and see where it takes us.
Yeah. And I want to say, like, this is not meaning we're disappearing from the face of the earth. Like, you still are posting stuff on Instagram. Like, I might even post stuff on Instagram. Like, we're around. It's just literally the thing that I'm taking a break from is I'm releasing myself from the need to edit.
I've been getting a lot of DMs recently. I've been posting a lot on Instagram. I've been getting a lot of DMs. I've been talking to this woman who lost her son a month ago. And she has a lot of questions and thoughts. So I've been putting things in DMs.
Yeah.
I've been posting
on our stories. Yeah.
We are active. We are here. I am available if anyone needs. Alina's unavailable. Don't even bother. Oh, someone asked, Alina, did you see that text about the uterine rupture?
Yeah, I don't know anybody who had a uterine rupture.
What I was talking about? An accreta, right?
That's accreta, that's a placental rupture.
If somebody had a uterine rupture, please reach out to us because one of our
uterine rupture.
Someone had a uterine rupture. Please reach out to us on Instagram because there's a woman who really wants to connect with somebody who had a uterine rupture. And I unfortunately can't think of anyone off the top of my head, but I would love to connect her with someone.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Alina.
Goodbye for now, I guess, everybody.
We hope on the flip side, you're feeling more yourself.
To all of our wonderful new friends, we want to hear from you. Email us at aslongasimlivingpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram @aslongasimlivingpodcast. We'll get back to you as soon as our grieving brains allow.
Yay!